Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and everybody that watches. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak on the things in God's Word, and if any time you have a question or a comment, or maybe a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to study on the program, feel free to contact us. You can do so at the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. We're doing a study of the church that we read about in the New Testament. We're looking at the mission of the church and how important that it is that we follow God's pattern concerning what He has given concerning the mission of the church. We know that the church is the result of God's eternal purpose. We read that in Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 10. We see that this plan and this purpose that God had for the church was something that God had from eternity, and that we read in verse 11 of Ephesians 3. And we're seeing that since God is the supreme architect of the church, that means that the pattern for the church is divine. And the pattern not only represents a divine planning, but a divine will, and that cannot be regarded. We've been looking at some examples of how it is important that God's plan, that God's pattern be followed. We saw that in the situation with Noah. We saw that concerning God's instruction given to Moses concerning the building of the tabernacle and all of the items and articles and furniture that went into the tabernacle. And we saw that God gave a pattern concerning the transporting of the Ark of the Covenant. And David breached that pattern. And the result was that Uzzah lost his life when he reached up and touched him, simply because the ark was being transported in a way in which God had not commanded it to be. We began looking at a sermon that Stephen preached in Acts chapter 7 concerning the history of Israel and how it was that Israel departed from the pattern that God gave, and condemnation was the result. So let's look at Acts chapter 7, and I hope that you do have opportunity to have Bible in hand. So turn with me to Acts chapter 7, and let's begin reading in verse 37. And this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him you shall hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles given to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their hands. And as we continue to read in verse 42, God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O you house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your God weapon, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away unto Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. So again, we see that fashion, that pattern, being emphasized in all of these things. And this principle is applied to the church. For instance, let's look over in the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter. In verse 1, it says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as God was admonished of Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount." And then look with me at 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's begin reading at verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So we see that this principle of applying the pattern that God has given is even applied to the church today. The idea that God tells us only what to do and not how to do is certainly in direct conflict with everything that we read about in the Bible. The church is the tabernacle which the Lord has pitched, and not man. It's built by Christ in harmony with God's purpose and with God's plan. We know in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And in what we read just a moment ago in Hebrews 8, verses 1 through 5, we see that it's to be built according to the pattern. So too is the fact that the church is to be ruled by divine will, by divine authority. Because we know from Matthew chapter 28, there in verse 18, here's what we read. "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So Christ has all authority. All authority belongs to Christ in this day and age. And we know from Ephesians, the first chapter, that he is the head over all things to the church. Let's look at Ephesians 1 and begin reading at verse 18. "Wherefore I also, after," that's verse 18, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. See, Christ is the head over all things to the church. There's no other authority in the church but Christ, for he is the head. And whatever the church is, and whatever the church does, Christ must have willed it to be so. But also we see that there is a divine plan for the church when it comes to accomplishing God's purpose. Back to where we were in the beginning, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Notice what we read here in verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Apostles and prophets, these are mentioned in this verse. Well, their work was the work of divine revelation, that is, making known the will of God. We have their work preserved by the providence of God in the New Testament, and it is accessible and it is complete. Then mention is made in Ephesians 4, verse 11, of evangelists. Those is the work of furthering, propagating the gospel. Then mention is made of pastors and teachers. Their work is within the congregation. What do we use the term pastor, as the verse here uses, or the word bishop, or the word elder? They were all the same. The same word in the Greek, pastor, is here. It also occurs in Acts 20 and verse 28, where there it is translated to feed or to shepherd. Divine wisdom has given this arrangement through which the church is to accomplish its divine mission. Those who were charged with the performance of these tasks in the early church, we know, were given gifts to make it possible for them to function according to the divine will, because the New Testament that you and I have the privilege of having today was not completed in the time in which these instructions were first given. In Ephesians 4, we read in verse 8, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." We find in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, as we read a moment ago, he gave some apostles, some evangelists, some bishops, some deacons, and so forth and so on. And then in verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So what this refers to is the completeness of the final revelation, and that final revelation is the New Testament. So the church has been given a divine program of work and of activity. Look why we're here in Ephesians 4, verse 12. "It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Let's take a look at each one of them. And this is what we hope to do, Lord willing, the next time we have the opportunity to study together. It's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. We thank you for listening and hope that we can tune in again tomorrow. And we return you back to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.